the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Age of Aquarius. 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 Harmony and understanding. Sympathy and trust.
One.
I just can't believe the world.
just heard the top 10 songs of 1969, according to Billboard magazine. And they were, at number 10, Tommy James and the Shondells with Crimson and Clover. Number 9 was Build Me Up Buttercup by The Foundations. Number 8 was I'll Never Fall in Love Again by Tom Jones. Number 7 was Hot Fun in the Summertime by Sly and the Family Stone. Number 6 was Dizzy by Tommy Rowe. Number 5 was Everyday People by Sly and the Family Stone. Number 4 was Honky Tonk Woman by The Rolling Stones. Number 3, I Can't Get Next to You by The Temptations. Number 2, Aquarius Let the Sunshine In by The Fifth Dimension. And at number 1 was The Archies with Sugar Sugar. And at the very top, we had President Nixon talking to Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong on the moon. We also had some information on Woodstock, which happened in 1969 as well. Don't touch that dial. We got 20 more minutes of great music coming your way.
You're listening to Rosano Radio on WMFO and Method Mass, 91.5 FM and live worldwide on the web at WMFO.org.
I'm your host, FR, and if you need to get in touch with me, just go to RosanoRadio.com. That's R-O-S-S-A-N-O Radio.com and click on the contact link. If you want to get your music on this show, go to RosanoRadio.com for more info.
Another day of tears.
Right, that was I Saw the Light by Todd Rundgren. And before that, we had The Rain by Terry Draper. And that's off his CD, Sunset on Mars. You can pick it up at terrydraper.com.
Hi, I'm Bruce Hornsby, and whenever I'm in Boston, I listen to WMFO 91.5 on your radio dial.
Here's the Marmalade with Reflections of My Life. Great track. Enjoy.
The changing of sunlight to moonlight, reflections of my life. Oh, how they fill my eyes. In trouble, reflections of my life. Oh, how they fill my eyes.
I'm changing, I'm changing everything.
Oh, everything around me.
The world is a bad place, a bad place, a terrible
always look forward to Rossano Radio on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM.
Far from the city, where the Lorax roams free, is the home of a magical truffula trees. In a place you will love, with things you'll adore, it's a magical spot. We call it the forest.
Everyone here needs the trees.
And who are you?
I'm the Lorax, guardian of the forest.
The forest is there for you to explore. So come once to see it, then come back lots more.
I just like hearing you say it.
Visit discovertheforest.org, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Bruce Hornsby, and whenever I'm in Boston, I listen to WMFO 91.5 on your radio dial.
You're listening to Rossano Radio on WMFO Medford. How about some Deep Purple? Highway Star. Crank it up, crank it up, crank it up.
two snapshots of a little boy taken from a family album. At this age, there was nothing to distinguish him from any other child. But destiny would later place him among the music greats of this century, for this was Master John Lennon. Millions of words have been spent on the Beatles phenomenon, and in particular on the public image and private life of John Lennon. But there was another side to this complex and often much misunderstood man. Now, for the first time, his aunt, Mimi Smith, has opened the door of her home in Dorset to talk of an extraordinary friendship that existed between them and that lasted until his death just a year ago. John Lennon bought this house, which looks over Sandbanks Bay, for his aunt Mimi 16 years ago. It was his link with reality, and above all with his aunt. Here, away from the prying eyes of his fans, he would escape from the pressures of fame and fortune and talk to the one person, he said, who always understood him, his auntie Mimi. What she has left, now that John has gone, is a host of memories wrapped in letters, photographs, presents, and phone calls that are to her beyond price. They tell a very different story to the one painted in lurid headlines by tabloid newspapers. Mimi looked after John on the separation of his parents when he was just a baby. She remained the mother figure in his life until his death, when he was gunned down outside his New York apartment last December. But despite the anguish of his murder, her memories are happy ones. She remembers, for example, buying him his first guitar.
Well, I'd battled against it, you know, for quite a long time.
Why?
Well, I didn't want him wasting his college time and missing lectures by wasting his time playing the guitar. Whereas his training would last. These things come and go. They're playing a guitar one week, everybody's clamoring for them, then they disappear. Nobody ever hears of them again. And then what was I going to do if I had a boy of 21 thrown back on my hands, qualified for nothing?
Can you remember the day when he got his guitar? Can you remember his reaction?
Well, he's a bit like yourself, a soft soaper. And he'd pick me up, you know, and kisses on the cheek. Mimi, can I have a guitar? And he hadn't any money to get a guitar. There was only me could buy him one. And I remember we went to Liverpool, and we went into a guitar shop, you know, they were all over the place. I didn't know anything about them, so he chose one, and it was £17.
How surprised were you that the Beatles went on to achieve worldwide fame and success?
I knew they had something, but nobody expected this. It was a shock to them too.
Now, when John became famous, how often were you able to see him here at Studland?
Oh, he'd nip down weekends, or odd, well, I couldn't say any day, you know. Suddenly there'd be a whirlwind and he'd come in. But it was usually if the pressure was getting a bit much, you know, and he'd come down here and do cartwheels on the beach by himself, nobody else there. Until one time one of the ferrymen must have noticed who it was. And the next thing, the TV cameras were up here. So I was annoyed, and he said, "Oh, Mimi, you mustn't be annoyed." He said, "Really?" He'd probably get £5 for ringing up, you know, and saying that I was down here.
Now, when he went to America, he kept in touch with you by telephone. What did you used to talk about?
Sometimes we'd be talking about current affairs and how the pound was going up and down, you know, and that sort of thing. And another time he'd be reminiscing about his childhood. You know, the funny things, because I was always chasing him, you know. I knew what he was up to before. What he could not make out was how I knew when he was up to something.
What about these antics that he got up to? What about the famous love-in with Yoko Ono? Did you talk to him about that?
I certainly did. I just found him, telephoned him, and I said, "That's enough. Thank you. We've had enough. Keep that lock for the music hall." And that was the end of it.
So he listened to you then?
Well, although he rebelled and said, I'm not going to do as you tell me, But he always did.
What did you make of his wife, Yoko Ono? Did you ever meet her?
Oh, yes, I met her. I've met her in London. And I've met her once down here. That was in the early days when he brought her.
Hmm.
Well, I didn't know what it was all about. I wondered who he was, who it was. And I said, who's this? And he pushed his head, it's Yoko. But I didn't think anything of it, you know. But I did say, what do you do for a living? To her. And she said, I'm an artist. I said, that's very funny, I've never heard of you.
What did he used to call you?
Mimi. My name is Mary Elizabeth. But I've never been anything else but Mimi. But when he'd been naughty, as I'd say, and I'd ring him up and I said, don't have me to come to New York. And then he'd say, oh, you're just being grumpy. So as soon as he said that, down goes the phone, you see, and then I'd wait for about half an hour. And he'd get friendly with me again. He always said, hello, is that you, Gertie? Never mind, Gertie.
Did he give you many presents?
Honestly, the place is full of presents. These, pearls, everything. And I could have had anything in the world. But I'm just one of those people that are rather Spartan, and I don't want anything.
He wanted you to go and live with him in America.
Yes.
Do you regret that you didn't?
No,
or not?
No, I couldn't live in America. And you see, with him phoning for so long, certainly once a week and sometimes twice a week, the phone is so clear. I didn't feel that he'd been away at all. It was as good as seeing him.
What do you make of all these stories that have been published about John Lennon since his death?
Do you mean these scurrilous remarks?
I mean stories concerning his private life, his sex life.
I've never heard anything like it in my life. And if these things crawling out of the woodwork, why don't they come out while he's alive and let him defend himself? Why wait till he's dead? And well-timed and deliberate, every one of them. But I think they're sick-deprived people, obsessed with sex, craving for attention.
When was the last time he phoned you?
Night before he was murdered. 2 hours. And he was saying, I'll be seeing you soon, Mimi. I can't wait to see you. And then, of course, at 5 o'clock the next morning, it came over the overseas news. And honestly, if I thought he was dead, I don't think I could go on. I don't think of him as dead.
Of all the songs that John composed and sang, was there a favourite one that you enjoyed?
Well, I don't know. I think A Hard Day's Night is not so bad at the present time.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel alright. You know I feel alright.
Did we miss a verse or something?
Yeah, we did.
Sorry. Can we drop in?
Okay, let's take it from...
When do we do a...
D4! Everybody's talking, no one says a word. Everybody's making love, no one really cares. There's napkins in the bathroom, just below the stairs. Something happening and nothing going on. There's always something cooking and nothing in the pot. They're starving back in China, so finish what you got. No.
Everybody's running, I know it makes you move. Well, everybody's a winner, I have nothing left to lose. There's a little yellow idol to the north of Kathmandu. Everybody's flying, and no one leaves the ground. Well, everybody's crying, and no one makes a sound. There's a place for us in movies, you just gotta lay around. Everybody's flying, I never touch the sky. There's UFOs over New York, and I ain't too surprised.
Hey, this is Billy Carl Mancini from Bird Mancini. You're listening to Frank Rosano on Rosano Radio, WMFO Medford, Massachusetts.
I'm glad that you're feeling so inflamed.
Stab me in the back. folks, I'm Ruby Bird from Bird Mancini, and you're listening to Frank Rosano on Rosano Radio, WMFO, Medford, Massachusetts. Yeah!
Told you, would you believe in what you can't hold, in what you can't see? Will you sun that holds your spear and
truth is just a lie. You say you know nothing more the day you die. Calloused and worn, we all become.
Because I said so, that's where I'm setting the bar. Because I love you, how am I doing so far? Because we're right here, right now, stuck in the middle of a promise that we made. Right now, say all the things that you never thought you'd say. I can't quit.